God preach for us. Lord bless you this evening.
Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Psalm 55:22.
Is there a heart or bound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing. All your anxiety, leave it there. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear, never a friend like Jesus. No other friend so keen to help you, no other friend so quick to hear, no other place to leave your burden, no other one to hear your prayer. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear, never a friend like Jesus. Come then at once, delay no longer, heed his entreaty kind and sweet. You need not fear a disappointment. You shall find peace at the mercy seat. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear, never a friend like Jesus.
Well, thank you for that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Good to see each and every one of you out tonight. Amen. All you tardy folks. Amen. Over here and over here. And all right.
It was over an hour drive.
What's that?
It was an hour drive.
They had an hour prayer meeting on the way in.
That's right.
Kristen got to work until like 10 of 6, but we don't.
I got
home at
6:15.
Dave Cranmer. I am taking names. It's amazing the excuses, man. Alive.
And by the way, Brother Bennett, there's a whole bunch of cop cars that are coming down to the revival. So down, so.
We'll welcome them in, okay? All right. Well, praise the Lord. Psalm 117. It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
I have the power. Amen. All right. We on our church, our home church, our Wednesday evening service, it's kind of laid back, and I lose control of the service real quickly. So I'm almost at the point where I'm losing control of this service too. So Psalm 117. If you will stand with me, I'm going to read this whole psalm, and I know that's a lot. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do love You. We thank You for all that You've done for us. Thank You for the opportunity we have to be in your house. I pray, dear God, that you'll do a work in our midst. I just ask that you'll give us exactly what we need, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Look over here in Psalm 119, a couple pages over. If you have a good Bible, a Scofield Bible, no, forget that. Psalm 119, look at, if you will, down in verse 30. It says, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have chosen the way of truth. Psalm 117, verse 2 said, the truth of the Lord endureth forever. I have chosen the way of truth. I pray that each and every one of you has chosen the way of truth. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. Hold on to it. You know, there's a lot of people getting rich off the truth in this day and age that we live in. Just go to a Christian bookstore, and a lot of people writing about the truth, don't you think? And now, you got to be careful when you go to a Christian bookstore. Everything in a Christian bookstore is not the truth, all right? But there are some people that are... What's that?
It's not Christian either.
That, Ed Rice. All right. See, I lost control. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Matthew chapter 13, you read about a merchant man. And the merchant man found the pearl of great price. And you realize that he went and sold everything he had just to buy that pearl. He was a merchant man. Okay? He was in the business of making money. But he bought that pearl. Did he buy it to sell? No. He kept it. The pearl of great price was worth everything to him. Everything he had, everything he owned, he bought the pearl of great price. And he kept it. Buy the truth and sell it not. I believe the pearl of great price pictures the truth. And once you get a hold of the truth, hold on to it with everything you've got. Because once you get a hold of the truth, the old devil will come along and he'll tell you that's not the truth. He'll try to get it away from you. He'll try to rip it out of your grips. He'll try to get you to sell it. He'll say, you know, you can make some money off of that. He'll try to get you to do almost anything to get rid of the truth. He deceives. That's his business. Now, I want you to notice, I'm going to talk about three areas where we find the truth. And there really are only three areas where we find the truth. Now, somebody will come up to me and say, well, I think there's a fourth area, and or a fifth area, and we'll go on and on. I'm doing the preaching, so we're stopping at three, all right? There's three areas. Now, the three areas we're going to talk about tonight, I'll preach quick, we'll be out of here before you know it, okay? But the three areas are, the truth is found in precept, the truth is found in a person, and the truth is found in a place. Those three areas. And by the way, I don't believe you're going to find it in any other ways. Romans chapter 1 talks about the creation and how we're without excuse. But we don't find the truth through creation. You don't go out in the creation and find the truth. It's not there. People go out and hug trees all they want to, and that's not the truth. People can go out and walk in the woods all they want to, but that's not the truth. You can go fishing. You can go out on a boat in the middle of the lake, and you can enjoy the creation around you and realize that God created it, but it's not the truth. That's not what we're seeking. We're seeking for the truth. All right, so don't come up to me later and say, well, I think you can find the truth in creation. Listen, I've listened to that nonsense all my Christian life. I can worship God out in creation. I can worship God while I'm out hunting. I had a fellow in our church that You know, when hunting season came, every Sunday morning he was off hunting. Until one Sunday he came and his hand was all wrapped up. He'd shot one of his fingers off hunting on Sunday morning. Too bad it wasn't his trigger finger. It should have been. Because after that healed up, he started to go out hunting on Sunday again. But the fact of the matter is, you can go hunting on Sunday morning, but that's not the truth, and you're not going to find the truth out there hunting on Sunday morning or being out in the creation. You're without excuse. You look around and you know there is a God. And anybody's a fool to look around creation and say, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And by the way, that's all science does, is try to discredit the fact that there's a God. They said God created everything. Well, how foolish is that? Well, how dumb is it to think there was a blob out there that blew up? I mean, how stupid do you think we really are that there was some squiggly squirm that got electrically charged and started growing? I mean, that's what science is telling us, and we're supposed to fall for that nonsense, but yet we're foolish because we believe in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. I don't know. Sounds more credible to me that God, instead of a blob. I mean, God, blob. I like God better. Now, I want to talk a little bit about these areas of truth. The truth is found in the precept. And what do I mean by that? John chapter 17, verse 17 says, "Thy word is truth." Now, if you're seeking for truth, you go to the place where truth is found, and that's the Word of God. Thy word is truth. Now, if you go out here, there was a time, believe it or not, there was a time where you could walk around and go to a lost person's home with a Bible and ask them what that was, and they said, "Oh, that's a Bible." Well, do you believe it's God's word? Well, certainly I believe it's God's word. They're lost. They're on their way to hell. But yet they're not going to argue with you about the fact that this is a Bible. You do that today, and you're going to have an argument on your hands. Because we have all these other religious and sacred documents that supposedly are equal with the Bible. Well, what about the Quran? I can't tell you how many times I've been asked that question. Well, what about the Quran? Well, the Quran is totally different from the Bible. The Quran was never, and by the way, the Quran never actually says it's inspired in any way. It's a document that was written by a demon. And it came through a demon into Muhammad. And by the way, you ever notice the name Muhammad? It's spelled about 16 different ways. They don't even know how to spell their own prophet's name. I know how to spell Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. But Muhammad, you find it spelled all these different ways. Listen, a demon came to him by the name of Gabriel. It was not Gabriel the angel. And he is the one that gave Muhammad that thing that we call today the Quran. And by the way, they spell it about 6 different ways. You don't know how to spell the Quran. Don't even know how to pronounce it, actually. But the fact of the matter is, it's not inspired of God. It's inspired by devils.
Amen.
We have the Word of God that is inspired by God. Somebody will say, "Well, I think it's a document that was written by man." Yes, man had a part in it. But man is not the one that wrote it.
Amen.
God inspired it. And through man, it came to us. And I praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
But I want you to think about this. Now, the truth comes to us through precept, and that's the Word of God. And think about this, the truth of the Lord endureth forever. How long is this book going to last?
Forever.
Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It'll be with us forever. Now, do you realize that all the various versions of the Bible are an effort to discredit the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
All the various versions of the Bible are an effort to discredit and ruin the Bible. And by the way, if it's different, it's not the same. Mickey Carter wrote that, by the way. I'll give him credit for that. But the fact of the matter is this, that I've been in services where somebody will get up and read from another version of the Bible, and I'm sitting there going, "What?" And I'm poking my wife. I said, "What did he say? Where did he read that?" And it was supposed to be the same verse I was looking at, and it wasn't the same. And it was twisted totally. Now I want you to think about this. Look, if you will, over here in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And notice what it says here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We are given a command to preach the Word, not to preach the Quran or any of the other sacred documents in this world. Certainly not the Book of Moran, Mormon. We wouldn't want to do that. All right, look here, chapter 4, verse 1. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Now, notice verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. By the way, where do we get sound doctrine? From the truth. You can't get sound doctrine from something other than the truth. It wouldn't be sound doctrine, okay? Now, they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they want somebody to pacify them. And that's what we find in this world today. People don't want to hear preaching anymore. They want to be pacified. They want somebody to pat them on the head and scratch them behind the ears and make them feel good. I've had people leave services and say, boy, I don't feel very good about myself. Well, you know, have you ever thought maybe the Holy Spirit of God is working on you through the preaching of the Word of God? I mean, and so many times people will blame the preacher for the way they feel about themselves, when all they have to do is realize that the truth was presented to them, and it's up to them to deal with it. It's up to them to accept the truth. Now, let's read on here. Verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. So the Word of God is called the truth here. Thy Word is truth. Preach the truth. That's exactly what he's saying. Preach the Word. Preach the truth. The Word of God is the truth. And so as we preach the truth. Look back here in chapter 3. Notice what it says down here in verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, we find that the truth is holy. This is not a document that man wrote. They didn't come by man. This is not a document that is merely the whims of some mystic that was up in a mountain someplace and decided, well, I'm going to write down the things, my thoughts, and give it to man. And that didn't happen that way. This is the mind of God that we have right here before us. And it's inspired of God. Matter of fact, the next verse, all Scripture, not just part of it, but all of it. This is the Holy Scriptures we're talking about. This is the Word of God. This is the truth. Holy truth. So all holy truth is given by inspiration of God. It can't come in any other way. Amen. If it came merely by man. You realize how corrupt we are? Do you realize how wicked man is?
Yep.
Man would never have given us a document like this. But this came from God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And because it came directly from God, it's a gift that's been given to us. It says given. It's a gift. This is God's precious gift to us. It's His Word. And by the way, you can't lie. God cannot lie. And I hope of eternal life, which God promised before the world began. He can't lie. I messed up that verse, but that's okay. You understand what. He can't lie. He's not going to be one thing today and something else tomorrow.
Amen.
Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. He's not changing. His Word doesn't change. You know what? You can read this Bible through. from cover to cover. And the next time you read it through, it's the same book. God always opens up different things in that book when you keep reading it. But the fact of the matter, it doesn't change. And it's not going to change. You know, the liberals will go around and they talk about the Constitution and we've got to do what the Constitution says. They don't even believe in the Constitution, but yet they want to do what the Constitution says when it fits what they want to do. They want to do what the Constitution says, but they don't believe it's a document that was given by the founding fathers. They believe it's a fluid document. In other words, what they mean by fluid, it changes with the times. No, it doesn't. And by the way, this is not a fluid document. It doesn't change with the times.
Amen.
This book is still relevant today, but it didn't change
Amen.
To be relevant today.
Amen.
Do you realize back there, clear back, and whenever it was written in 60 AD, whatever, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It was true then, and it's true today.
Yes.
Yeah, it didn't change. Anybody got saved back in the Apostle Paul's day, or John's day, got saved the same way we get saved.
Yeah.
He believed God. We talked about Abraham last night. He believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. See, he got saved the same way I got saved. He believed God. Wow, isn't that amazing? And this is not a fluid document. This is the truth. And by the way, we do have absolute truth. This is the absolute truth. It doesn't change, regardless of what man would tell us. It doesn't change. So, the truth, it's been given to us. This is the gift from God. And by the way, because it's the truth, notice what else it says. It's profitable. We can profit from this book. What can we gain from it? It says doctrine. This is the teachings that we have, that we hand down from generation to generation. Those doctrines don't change. They're the same. They'll always be the same. Regardless of what man says, they'll always be the same. They don't change. Matter of fact, the doctrine of the rapture, the word rapture is not in your Bible. You can look all day long, you're not going to find it. But the rapture hasn't changed. Some people say, well, the rapture's not going to take place until the mid-trib or the end of the tribulation. I'm not going through the tribulation. Those guys can go through the tribulation all they want to. You see, this is an absolute truth that Jesus Christ is going to split those eastern skies, and he's going to call out and say, "Come up hither," and we're going to go up to meet the Lord in the air. He's looking for those that believe, believers. You see, that's an absolute truth. That's not something that's fluid that's going to change. Oh, God changed His mind. No, God didn't change His mind. See, we have the truth here. And how long is that truth going to last? Forever. And I choose the truth. It's going to last forever. Next, number two. The truth that's found in a person. John chapter 14 and verse 6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Who said that? Well, Jesus said that. So He's saying, "I am the truth." Do you realize that when Jesus was about ready to be nailed to a cross, and He's standing before Pilate, and Pilate asked Him this question. You can draw this out of John 18, verse 38, I believe. And he said, "What is truth?" Now, Jesus didn't say this to Him, but He could have easily looked Pilate in the eye and said, "I am. I am." Because Pilate was looking at Jesus, he was looking at the truth. I want you to go over here with me to the Gospel of John. And notice what it says in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. It's interesting to read this and study it out, but I'll just go over it real quick. But in verse 1 it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In other words, he's God. The Word, okay. Now notice in verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. He dwelled amongst us. Now, what does that mean? That means that Jesus came into this world, was born of a virgin, and lived here on this earth. And, by the way, he lived a sinlessly spotless life. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All we have to do is look at the truth. Look at verse 17 of John chapter 1. For the law was given by Moses, and praise God, we're not under the law. Because if we were under the law, I wouldn't be here tonight. I'd be under a pile of rocks someplace where they stoned me. Because I was out picking up sticks on the Sabbath day or something like that. But the fact of the matter is that we're not under law. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. Not just grace. And by the way, grace is pretty important. It's been a long time talking just about grace. But the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. How long is truth going to last? Well, Psalm 117, verse 2, the truth of the Lord will last forever. It endureth forever. So Jesus Christ, and according to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, He's the same yesterday and today and maybe tomorrow. No. That's the NIV. And forever. Forever. Do you realize that Jesus Christ that you talked to this morning when you went to the Lord in prayer will be the same Jesus Christ that you'll talk to tomorrow?
Amen.
And the next day, and the next day, one of these days, you're going to see Him face to face. When I see Him face to face. When I see Him, I'll be like Him. That's the truth. That's true. It's not fluid. It's real. It's absolute. And this is the absolute truth. So, we see truth is found in a precept. That the precept's the Word of God. Truth is found in a person. And the person is Jesus Christ. The Word of God. Amen. Then truth is found in a place. Look, if you will, in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. And notice what it says in 1 Timothy, if I can find it. Chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. It says this. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The truth. Now, this is a place, by the way, this verse, the way it's written, is very important for us to understand this. It's talking about a local church. The church, he's not talking about a universal church. He's talking about a local church because it's a particular place, how you behave yourself in the house of God. Okay? There's a certain way we behave ourselves. We certainly don't act like we would in Walmart at the church. We act different. When I was a kid, there were some old gals in that church that were they felt it was their duty to make sure those kids didn't run in the church. I remember getting out of Sunday school. The first thing I wanted to do was run. I mean, you sat there for however long Sunday school was, 45 minutes or whatever. You're ready to run around for a while. Well, there's always that old gal up there ready to slow you down. You don't run in the church. Well, there's a certain way to behave yourself. Now, I know that's kind of a silly illustration, but, you know, there's certain things you don't do in the church. But that's not the point I'm trying to get at tonight. We can talk about that some other time. But the fact of the matter is, what we want to notice is that this local church is the pillar and ground of the truth. In other words, somebody should be able to drive by and say, you're going to find the truth right there at that church.
Amen.
You know, we're not pointing a finger at that church. We're pointing a finger at this church.
Yeah.
Now, every church should be the same. They should be able to say, there's the truth. But it's not the case. There's a lot of places that are called churches that are nothing more than social clubs.
Mm-hmm.
There's even Baptist churches that are nothing more than social clubs. And matter of fact, churches are judged by other human beings, but they're also judged by God. And I guarantee you, God doesn't judge a church by the size. He doesn't judge a church by how many people are in the pews. That's not what he's interested in. He's interested is the truth in that church. Are they preaching the truth? That's what he's concerned about. And by the way, he understands that we're living in the last days and people don't want to hear the truth anymore. They heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They want to be pacified rather than they want candy. They don't want to be fed those awful vegetables, and they certainly don't want to be fed that hard to digest meat that we get into every now and then. But the fact of the matter is that this is the church. This is what we're talking about. This is where you find the truth. And the truth ought to come forth boldly from the pulpit every time that we gather together. We call that the assembly, when we assemble together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Look, if you will, back here in Ephesians, and go to Ephesians chapter 4. Now here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, it talks about the makeup of the church and those leaders that we have in the church. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, prophets, the apostles and prophets, they're in the past. I don't believe they're for this day and age. And then we come to evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So we have all of these leaders in the church. They're there for a particular reason. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, we're not measuring ourselves up to one another. I'm not here to measure myself against Brother Rice, and he's not measuring himself up, but we measure ourselves up against Christ. And by the way, we don't measure up, okay? That's why we keep coming to learn and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice here in verse 15 how those that are in the positions of authority, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and even Sunday school teachers, whatever it may be, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. In love. Boy, I tell you what. Speaking the truth in love. Boy, I've been to some meetings. I've been to camp meetings down south. Boy, I tell you what, those guys down south have a way of beating you up. I mean, they get up there and they hoot and howl and yell and scream. And by the time you're done, you think you've been chopped up and fed to the wolves. Man, I mean, to tell you. And I just didn't feel the love. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been in churches where I didn't feel the love. See, when I go to church, I don't expect the preacher to pull punches. That's not what I'm expecting. But I am expecting some love. The Bible says, speak the truth in love. In other words, the shepherd of the sheep needs to love the sheep. There are some pastors that don't love the sheep. Some evangelists don't love the sheep. They think it's their job to slaughter the sheep. That's not right. We're to love the sheep, speaking the truth in love. The truth. What's that truth? Well, it's the truth that we're the pillar and ground of. It's the truth that we're preaching from the Word of God about the Word of God. The truth. Look in Galatians. The book of Galatians. And notice what it says here in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, I believe it is. The Apostle Paul had told these folks the truth. And they were a little bit upset with him there at Galatia. They probably thought the Apostle Paul was sticking his nose in something that he didn't need to be sticking his nose into. And so they were a little upset with him. Notice what it says here in verse 16 of Galatians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul says, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" How many times I had somebody that got mad at me for preaching the truth? How many times have I had somebody... I think I told you the story. If I haven't, it's a good thing. But if I have, just deal with it, okay? I'm doing the preaching. I can tell any story I want to. Years ago, we worked on a fella for a long, long time to get him to come to church. And he came to church. He finally came to church. And he came to church several times. One Sunday, I preached on hell. And he stopped at the back at the end after it was all over. And he wouldn't even shake my hand. He says, "I'll never come back." I says, "Why?" He says, "I don't have to listen to that stuff." He walked out. We never saw him again come to the church. I've visited him. I talked to him. He never came back to the church. He didn't want to deal with the truth. Folks, people would rather believe a lie than to hear the truth. Am I an enemy? Am I your enemy because I told you the truth? Well, Psalm 117, verse 2 says that truth endureth forever. And by the way, I believe that the church will endure forever.
Amen.
Now, I believe that, you know, some people think that the church will end. No, it'll endure throughout eternity. Matter of fact, it will endure to the end of time, because in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, it says, "I will build my church." And if you read that properly, that's a perpetual thing. You know, we sit back and we say, well, there's not much hope for the church. We're living in the last days and it's the great falling away. No, the church will endure. Okay? And by the way, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church.
Amen.
Somebody have the idea, well, the gates of hell. What's he talking about, the gates of hell? Well, do you realize what the gates are in the Bible? The gates are political systems, the government in the Bible. You go to the Old Testament, whenever it talks about the gates, it's talking about the leaders that are sitting in the gates doing the political business that needs to be done. Listen, when Boaz had to be the redeemer for Ruth, he had to go to the gate and find the leaders of the city to deal with that certain situation. Well, that's what the gates are. And the gates of hell, that's what our political system in the world has become. Read Psalm 2. Where are the kings and where are the rulers of the earth? They're mocking God. They're trying to figure out ways how they can throw God out of everything. Well, listen, they've tried to do that. We've got a Supreme Court that's made up of absolute idiots. We've got a Supreme Court that's legalized murder. They've legalized the murdering of babies in 1973. And since that time, millions upon millions of babies have died. We've got political leaders that have passed laws that would make it legal to kill a baby after it's born. We've got people that are talking about killing older people. And they call it euthanasia. Oh, like it's going to be a helpful thing. Oh, you know, what's your quality of life? Listen, I go to the VA, and every time I go to the VA, one of the things that's asked me is about my quality of life. What do you consider your life? Is it a good life? I said, yeah, it's a good life. I certainly don't want to die.
Amen.
That's your alternative. And they give me all these drugs that I'm supposed to take, and then, yeah, that'll kill me. So I put them in the cupboard and not take them. But the fact of the matter is that they want to make sure that they wipe out as much of the population as they can possibly wipe out. It's an agenda that they're on. But the fact of the matter is, folks, God is the truth. And here we have the truth right before us. And it's like the pearl of great price. Grab it. Hold on to it. Don't let it go. Don't sell it. Don't reject the truth. The truth of the Lord endureth forever. Let's stand very quietly. I want you to sing a song with me, and then we'll turn it over to the preacher. How about singing about the truth? How about, I don't know what it is, 421, I think. See, your book has messed me all up. Wonderful words of life. Wonderful words of life. 421. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinnerless to the loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus only Savior, sanctified forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Preacher.
All right, appreciate the message. That's the truth right there. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. Boy, it's good to be saved. Let's just dismiss tonight with, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. Praise the Lord. Good to see each one here tonight. The Cranmers drove the farthest to get here. Brother Dave, why don't you dismiss us in a word?
Dear Heavenly Father, Father, Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, for the message we heard, Lord.
Thank you,
Brother
Lord.
Bennett. We are so thankful for the blessings, Lord, that are found in your Holy
Yeah,
Lord.
Amen.
We are so thankful for the church, Lord, and we are so thankful for Jesus, Lord, being the truth. Lord, dismiss us tonight. Lord, give us safety as we go home. And pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.